ask your continued interest in your prayers as we enter into our subject this morning. Certainly is good to see you. I enjoyed the song service. If you'd like to turn with us, you'll find our text in Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. The psalm itself is perhaps a fairly familiar psalm. I want to get the first five verses of this psalm. David speaks of a time of trouble for himself. You ever been in trouble? It's kind of common, isn't it? We've all had those situations, whether they were big or small. You've always all been in situations where you've had trouble. Trouble comes in many flavors, many colors, many durations, but they all affect us one way or another. Now, before we get into our text, remember Jesus said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. All right? Now, that's just a statement of fact. He knew the world. He knew what we would encounter. He's always known these things, all right? So he's just telling us. Now, just because he had come and done the works that he did does not mean we're never going to have any more troubles. Have any of you, once you've come to a knowledge of the truth and have come to the understanding of who God is and who Jesus is and that our salvation rests solely in his finished work, have any of you found that since you got to that place in life that your troubles were over? No. No, troubles are not over. As a matter of fact, you might even have found that there was more conflict that you face from time to time, because we want to be faithful to the Lord. And we know also that Paul told Timothy that yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Sometimes that persecution is outward. Sometimes it's subtle. But it's there. If you're going to be faithful to the Lord, there are going to be things in this world, especially when you get out in public, that are going to be contrary to the way that the Lord teaches us to live. And so if we're going to be faithful to him and live according to the way that he teaches us, you're going to find difficulty from time to time. And there's sometimes it's just going to be trouble. Thank you. I got some nods and I got an amen. I'll take that. All right, so trouble. None of us are strangers to trouble. But let me tell you this. You know this, but I'll remind you of it. There is no trouble that we will ever face that's bigger than God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So whatever this text has to say, you carry that with you this afternoon. I know you know it, like I said, but I wanted to remind you of it because it's in remembering these things that oftentimes we find the greatest encouragement. And that's what preaching is all about, stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. That's the way the Apostle Peter, if you read the second epistle of Peter, you'll find that Peter did that a lot in that second epistle. He'd already written 1 Peter, so in 2 Peter, mainly, he was just stirring them up and reminding them of some things, bringing up some new subjects, but still by way of remembrance, causing them to remember what we have in the Lord. And if we can just remember what we have in the Lord, the help that we have from the Lord, the power that he has, you know, I can tell you that I'll help you in any trouble you got. But you know that's limited. You know that doesn't, sometimes, depending on the nature of the trouble, sometimes that wouldn't amount to much. But if I tell you that the Lord is with you in every trouble, now you've got help. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And so when we have those episodes of trouble, when we have those problems that face us in life, then the sooner we can remember that, sooner we can remember where our help comes from, the better off we are, right? Okay, Psalm 40. Hope you found it by now. All right? Let me just read the first five verses. I waited patiently. By the way, this is a... Let me get the introduction here. There's a subtitle in my Bible underneath the Psalm 40. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." All right? So here is an experience that the Holy Ghost impressed David to write for us. No doubt it was something that he experienced, but the Holy Ghost guided in what was written about it because it was going to be a lesson for us even unto this good hour. All right? That's the way the scriptures are. They're timeless. Some folks, I've heard folks talk about how that, well, that's just about, that's old fashioned. Well, if it's truth and if it's applicable to our situation, it doesn't matter how old it is, does it? All right? Now he says, to the chief musician. From what we understand, you know, they in the Old Testament, they did things a little different, and there were those that were in charge of, you know, what was being sung, what was being used in their various occasions. And when it was directed to the chief musician, the idea was, this is good. You keep this and you make it available because it needs to be played on a regular basis. All right? So what we're being taught in this psalm then is something that God's people need to be reminded of on a regular basis. Yes. All right? Sometimes there's something very specific that the Bible teaches us, and we need to know those lessons. But sometimes it's a general lesson that we can benefit from many times in our life. And so the many times that we've been faced with trouble, this could be a help to us. The many times that we're going to be faced with trouble, this can be a help to us. You see how God's word is? Yes. It's applicable to our life. It's for your good. And if you know it and remember it, it'll do you good. All right. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Notice it wasn't just a request, it was a cry. It was a pleading for help. All right? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. By the way, notice that's goings, not just one, but many. All right? And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David is saying, look, I've got more than I can number. I've got more than I can think about to praise and thank the Lord for. Now, isn't that the case for all of us? Whether we think about it or not, we have many things in life, many things in our life, and many things even unto today, that we can thank the Lord for. Thank the Lord for so many things. You know, and I tell you, unless you've had some exposure to third world countries and seen the poverty that they live in, with all the technology of our day, there's still plenty of places on this planet where people are extremely, according to our standards, they are extremely poor. Now, I've got very limited. Some of you have been there. Some of you know more about it than I do. But I have seen enough to know that, I tell you, we have so much that we take for granted. There's so much that we have that we don't bother to thank the Lord for because we've always had it. I think that says something. I think that's taken a toll upon our spirituality. That we're not thinking about how blessed we are. We kind of expect it, don't we? You know, we kind of get put off with some folks that seem like they expect a lot of things that they haven't worked for. Well, how do you think the Lord feels about us when we've got so many things that we just take for granted and never bother to move our lips and say, thank you, Lord? What do you think about that? You know, we're living in a day where, I tell you, things are changing. And they're changing at a more rapid pace. You know, as long as I've been alive, I can remember my daddy saying, I don't know what this world's coming to. Boy, if he was alive today, I wonder what he'd be saying. I suspect it'd be at least that. I don't know what this world's coming to. I mean, it's crazy what some of the things that we're hearing. People just, well, I don't get on that soapbox, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But we are so blessed in so many ways. And I've preached on thankfulness many times. But I'm telling you, as we get into this subject, David is talking about he's been made to realize just how blessed he is, that God has blessed him in so many ways. Now, even so, we still have our needs. And even so, we can still go to him and ask him for the things that we stand in need of. But I'm going to tell you something. The list is a whole lot longer of what we ought to be thanking him for than we've been giving attention to. And I believe I'm safe in saying that. All right? So first of all, as we enter into this subject this morning, just think about the fact that we are so blessed as a people of God. All right? For many reasons. All right? So David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Waited patiently. In your mind's eye, or in your mind, what does that look like? Was David just sitting around doing nothing? Okay. Waiting patiently on the Lord means that we still need to go about life. We still need to go about doing the things that we need to do. We still need to ask the Lord, and it sometimes in our troubles, we have to ask for a while before we find the deliverance. It's not because God is hard of hearing. You know, that means more to me nowadays. My hearing's not what it used to be. And so, and some of you, I know, share that and been there longer than I have. But fact is, God knows and he hears everything. But it's his will as to when and how he answers our prayers. Sometimes he says, no. Sometimes he says, not now. Sometimes it's because we need to grow in some other areas of our life so we can appreciate the answer that he has for us. And sometimes he says yes, and he blesses us in such an amazing way that we didn't even think about. We didn't see it coming. And I've got a lot of nods on that one, so you know what I'm talking about. God knows what he's doing, and his way is always best. And so the sooner we say, thy will be done and not mine, the more peace and rest we'll find as we are waiting patiently upon the Lord. And we can be real busy in serving one another and doing God's will and seeking his will and doing all of those kinds of things while we're waiting on the Lord. But that's a hard lesson to learn. One of the last things we want to do is wait. And yet we find ourselves having to wait on a lot of things in this life. Okay? Now, we're not going to blame the Lord with all of that. You know, some of it's just life. Some of it just stinks, but that's the way it is. Right? All right? But the Lord causes us to wait, perhaps so that we would appreciate it more. But like I said earlier, there may be times when we have to grow in some other areas of our lives before we can appreciate the answer that He has for us. And so we need to wait patiently on the Lord. You're going to wait one way or another. Sometimes you're going to be frustrated, but if you can wait patiently, you can rest and labor in serving one another and serving the Lord while we wait patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. Now, there were times that David had real trouble, and the Lord answered him right away. There were times that the Lord answered him speedily because there was an urgent need. And so it's good for us to remember that there are times the Lord knows what we need, and there are times that the Lord answers us speedily. Whatever the case here, he waited patiently on the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto his cry. The word cry there carries with it the idea here that this request that David had on this occasion was serious. This was something that he needed help with, and he needed great help with. It was a matter of great passion that he had. He was crying unto the Lord. I'm satisfied that there's been times that you've had to cry unto the Lord. What a relief it is when He's heard our cry and He's helped us. I tell you, when we think about the goodness of our Lord and how much He does, all right? So He says, He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now we're about to hear something about David's experience. But still, it's going to be in general terms. And my persuasion is that the reason that this is given to us in general terms, the reason it was sent to the chief musician, you play this often, you remind the people of this on a regular basis, is because the way it's presented to us, it could fit whatever our trouble is. And that's the way the Lord is. He might bless one person one way and one person another, but it's because their need is a little different. Whatever it is, He can give us those tailor-made blessings. I've never, you know, the Lord just does, you know, you get a gift from somebody sometimes, and it might be suitable. It might not even be something you're interested in at all. The Lord doesn't do that. Because He knows. Now, when you know exactly what somebody needs and are interested in, you can do a pretty good job of picking out a gift, can't you? Well, the Lord knows exactly what we need. The Lord knows exactly what's going to be good for us. And so as we receive of His blessings, we need to rest in the fact that it's exactly what the Lord would have for us. It might not be the same as the person right next to you, but it's what He knows we need personally for us. So here's what David's experience is expressed to us as. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Just imagine. You know, we've heard about quicksand. Maybe some of you have actually experienced some quicksand. Jonathan and Kenneth, in doing their surveying, sometimes they have to tromp through creeks and swamps and things like that. They've gotten into some things that they were made to realize that if they hadn't kept moving, that could have gotten trouble. Just imagine, whatever your trouble is, and you're sinking down, and you're sinking down. David describes this as the miry clay. Say, lift me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I've been in situations like that, all right? But it doesn't have to be literally that. You could get into situations in life where you're sinking down, where the weight of your problem is pressing down upon you in such a way that you feel like that you're pinned down, that you can't move, that you can't get out. This is real, brethren. This is real. God knows what we go through. And David was going through one of those experiences where his trouble was just pressing him down so that he was sinking down. He was in distress. He was to the point of panicking that he was going to sink down in this miry clay. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord delivered him. I tell you, our problems, problems can just weigh you down, can't they? I know growing up and changing jobs and young children and growing children and all those kind of things that we're faced with. And sometimes it's problems on the job, or sometimes it's personal relationships, or whatever the case might be. That trouble can come and it can weigh you down. It can get to you. But the Lord is always our help. And he was David's help. And David knew that. So he says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Think of how you feel like you're sinking, feel like you're trapped, feel like you're going down and no way to get up, and the Lord lifts you up. The Lord gives you an answer to your prayers. And it's like taking you out of the miry clay and putting your feet upon a rock. I tell you, that's got to be tremendous relief, isn't it? Tremendous relief. That's what David experienced. But what's the principle here? Whatever the nature of our trouble, it can weigh you down. And you don't feel like that you have any foundation that's gonna finally give you some footing. You feel like you're just gonna keep going down, down, down. But the Lord comes along and lifts us up and put our feet upon a rock. We're no longer under the weight of that load. We're no longer sinking. We're no longer panicking. The Lord delivers us from that. Oh. Think about some of your situations in life. What a relief it was when the Lord gave you an answer or resolution to that situation. All right? Set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Well, I tell you what establishes your goings is when the Lord lifts you up and puts you on that rock. And in principle, when we think about what is involved here, we realize that we are so weak, we are so limited in what we can do to help ourselves when we're in such trouble. But when the Lord shows himself strong on our behalf, then we remember that that's where our help is. It's in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Just remembering when we start thinking about that our help is in the Lord, and remembering all that we have in the Lord, because we know some things. There's some things we know. Maybe we've left them off. Maybe we've forgotten about them. Maybe we're remembering what we should. But when we remember, the Lord sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. That we're all sinners, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no way that we could ever reconcile ourselves to God. But he sent his Son to this world to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins. He sent his Son to this world to do for us what we could not do. And bless your hearts when we rejoice to know that what the gospel teaches us, that even in times when there have been some whose faith had been overthrown, remember 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul said that Hymenaeus and Philetus were going about preaching some things that the resurrection had already passed and had overthrown the faith of some. But listen to what he said. He said, nevertheless, right? Nevertheless, the foundation of God. You talking about putting your feet on a sure foundation? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, when I remember that, it helps me. Because if I have a hope in the Lord, if I have a love for God, if I felt like that I have felt the love of God in my heart, then that tells me from the authority of Scripture that I'm one of his children. And if we're one of his, he knows them that are his. And if he knows us, don't you know he's going to take care of his own? Don't you know that if his word teaches fathers how they're to take care of their children and provide and do what they should do, that he's even better than that? That he's going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to keep us to the extent of his ability. And even that's great, isn't it? Because he can do whatever he needs to do to take care of his own. And so when we remember that we're a child of God, that he's lifted us out of that miry clay and set us upon a rock, and that firm foundation of his truth and his love and what he has provided for us through his son to save us from our sins, that we can never be separated from it, that heaven will be our home, then we're made to realize that the troubles of this life are just temporary. And that's what Paul was telling us in Romans 8:18. When he said, for I reckon, that is, he's added it all up, and here's the conclusion. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Heaven awaits every born-again child of God, and nothing can separate us from it. And as you're going through your troubles, the more you can remember that, the more you can remember the surety of your salvation, the more you can remember the power of God on your behalf, the more you can remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, that puts wind in your sails. That'll lift your head up a little bit. That'll give you some strength to deal with whatever you're dealing with, because you know the Lord is with us. You know that he knows, you know that he's able, and you know that he will take care of his own. Doesn't mean you're not going to ever have trouble. Doesn't mean you're going to be delivered from everything that frustrates you in life. What it means is you've got help in the Lord. I'll tell you, we need some of those kind of things to keep us thinking the way we should. Right? So he lifted it. So David's experience was that the Lord had lifted him up out of the miry clay and set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. What established his goings was that God had lifted him up out of that clay and put his feet upon a rock. And I tell you, if we're resting upon the sure foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his finished work for us, that's a good foundation to rest upon. Not only that, but he speaks of hearing his word and obeying his word as being a sure foundation for our life. You remember that? In the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, he said in Matthew chapter 7, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The winds came and the floods beat against the house, but it fell not because it was built on a rock. The principle is when we build our lives upon what God would have, the way God would have us to live, what he would have us to do in this life. When we build upon that, we're building upon a solid foundation. God's truth. It's what establishes us. Establishes our goings. Okay? What else did he say? Established my goings. Verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. A new song. You know, what was that TV show, the Hee-haw. Anybody ever watch that? Those guys is a gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, sometimes we're singing that song, aren't we? Sometimes life is that way. All right? Sometimes we don't have praise to God because we're so weighed down with the problems of this life. It's hard to sing joyful songs when you're in such trouble, isn't it? It's hard to do that. I'm telling you something. Our circumstances change, but God never changes. His word doesn't change. He's just as good. So we're the ones that we need the encouragement. We need the help. We need the strength. And God's pleased to give it to us. So he says he hath put, after he had delivered David, after he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth. You know, it starts in the heart. All right? He didn't say he put a new song in my heart. All right? Now, I'm not saying it wasn't there. What I'm saying is the scriptures also say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And David was experiencing that in his heart, and it was coming out of his mouth. And I tell you, that's when it gives praise to God, when it comes out in praise to his holy name, and when it comes out in praises to him because of what God has done for us. And bless your hearts, that's something that ought to happen on a regular basis from God's people. We're living in a day where there's so much that's wrong. There's so much, so many that are out of the way. Even good people get caught up in things and turned away. And it's just so needful for us who are following the Lord and serving the Lord and seeing the blessings that he's giving us. It's so needful for those praises to come out of our mouth, saying, thank you, Lord, and praise his holy name for his goodness and mercy upon us. You know, we can do that, can't we? You don't have to go around everybody. You don't have to go around to everybody that you encounter, and they don't want it. They may not want to hear it. But I tell you, it is encouraging to me when I hear somebody out in public that's willing to thank the Lord for blessings. It's encouraging, isn't it? It is. All right. So he says he's put a new song in my mouth. All right. I want to notice two reasons why that new song would be in his mouth. All right? You with me? Two reasons why David would have that new song in his mouth. Well, first of all, he'd been lifted out of the miry clay. All right? He'd found deliverance. And so when we find deliverance, no wonder that's a reason why we ought to be praising God and have a new song in our mouth, because the difference between the weight of our troubles and all the problems that we were experiencing and feeling the deliverance that the Lord had given us. And probably that's the bulk of it. All right? So when we think about that, but then he also says, well, by the way, and you have an example of that in the Old Testament when Israel was delivered across the Red Sea. Remember that? That was in Exodus 14. Then Exodus 15, the whole chapter is Moses' song of deliverance. I mean, it's a wonderful chapter to read. Exodus 15, I encourage you to do that. Not right now, but sometime. Look at Exodus 15 and see how they express. And here's millions of people, right? Over a million. So a lot of estimates say anywhere from 2 to 4 million Jews at that time. But millions of people giving praise and adoration to God. Absolutely. Well, there ought to be millions of people praising God today, because he blesses us every day. All right? So that was that praise, that difference between the weight of the problem and the deliverance that they'd experienced. But let me tell you this. The reason it's a new, he said he hath put a new song in my mouth. Think with me for just a moment. In times when God has delivered you from some problem. And how you felt. And how you thanked the Lord for that. You know, just thinking, and that's something we ought to do on a regular basis, is think back over those times that the Lord delivered us in our lives. And give him praise. Because there's something about that. When someone sincerely is thinking back when the Lord has delivered them, those praises never get old. They're always new. There's a quality about that. When you remember what the Lord did for you, it is forever new. And there's a number of lessons in the scripture where the word new is used, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, that new creature that we are in Christ, that inner man that we are when we're born again, that is forever new. The outward man's perishing. Because of sin, the outward man is dying. But the inner man is renewed day by day. When you think about the blessings God has given us and it causes that joy to come to you all over again, it's because those things are forever new. They never get old. When you think about how the Lord, whatever your situation was, he lifted you up out of the miry clay. He put your feet upon a rock. He established your going, and he put a new song in your mouth. Even, and here it is, even praise to our God. Praises to our God. That's the new song that he puts in our mouth. All right? So he says, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He says, many shall see it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to praise the Lord and thank him for the deliverances we've experienced in this life. Now, I'm going to tell you something you might not have thought about. Part of what you might not have thought about when we give praise and thanksgiving to God for the things he's done for us, it's like you're making deposits into the bank of heaven. Okay? How many times have you thanked the Lord and praised him for his goodness and mercy? And I'll tell you something, when you do that, it's like making deposits into the bank of heaven because we're laying up treasures. Okay? And those things draw, earn dividends, if you will, to kind of keep going with the analogy here. We can draw from that many times. What do you mean, preacher? Well, maybe you're starting to see that you're facing a situation in life that's going to be, it has the potential for being trouble. But you think back on a time when God delivered you in the past. You know he's able. You know he had mercy upon you. You know that he provided for you in the past. And it gives you confidence to face what you're having to face now. You're drawing from those past experiences. And you're benefiting from the fact that he was faithful to you in the past. And you know that he's able to deliver us now. And I'll tell you something. That's why we need to keep those deliverances of the past fresh in our mind. Because we don't know what we're going to face in this world. There's crazy things going on in this world. There's people just doing crazy things. And it makes you wonder about their motives or if somebody else is putting them up to it and all those kinds of things. All right? We're living in perilous times. Bless your hearts, we need to stay close to the Lord. We need to remember his goodness. We need to remember his mercy. We need to be teaching our children, listen, God delivered me from this and God delivered me from that. And we can be with you and he can bless you and he can provide for you. He can be there for you. Our children need to know about those times that we've been delivered in the past. And if the Lord's touched their hearts and tendered them, blessed them to know him, that it'll mean something to them when they face their troubles in life and they know where they can go for help. Right. Teach them. Train them up. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, we need to be that good example. We need to be doing that. We need to take the baton and run with it ourselves in order to be able to teach others. Because the best way to teach is with a good example. Okay? The best example we have is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he went about doing good. There was no guile in his mouth. He said, leaving us an example. I may have left out something there. But he said, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And what was his steps like? One of the things he said was, I do always those things that please him. He was always doing the will of God. So we need to be always seeking the will of God, seeking wisdom from him, seeking his help, seeking whatever we can to do that which would be pleasing unto him and enjoying that fellowship of his spirit so that we don't have to go find him when trouble comes. We're walking with him every day. I tell you, that's a great blessing. Well, we can have that in life. All right, so he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. How many folks are seeing you praising the Lord? How many folks have seen you giving thanks unto God? Many shall see it. You know, you never know what's going on in somebody's life. There may be somebody that you may not even think they know the Lord. And they may be watching you. Because you've exhibited some trust. You have exhibited some knowledge that you've got help that's beyond what this world can provide. You just never know who's watching. You never know. Give them a good example. Give them a good dose of a good example. Right? All right. Many shall see it. And what else? Verse 4. Many shall see it and fear. Now, what are we talking about? This kind of fear is respect. When somebody has the Spirit, and they see that happening in your life, and they know it was of the Lord, not you, there's a measure of respect in the child of God that recognizes that had to be from the Lord. And I've seen situations, whether it was personal or whether what I've observed, I've seen other situations where the Lord just opened some things up for somebody. Some of you have experienced that. I know some of you. The Lord just opened it up because it wasn't something you could do. And when you see how the Lord had entered in and provided for those things, and bless your hearts, it causes us to reverence our God because we know he had mercy upon that person. He was able and he supplied the need for that person. Many shall see it and fear. All right? But it goes on from there. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, this is not causing somebody to become a child of God. It's encouraging somebody who is. Don't you know a lot of children of God who are not real faithful? Who are not really following closely to the Lord? Who are not really providing much in the way of a good example? But you know what? When I see somebody in public standing up for the Lord, when I see somebody doing what's right, When I see somebody, their behavior, I know is because they know and love and fear God, and they want to do what's right, because the world's not going to do that. The world's going to go their own way. I mean, number one, they're looking out after number one. All right? So, when others see, what I was saying was, when I see that out in public, when I see somebody fearing God, doing what's right, it emboldens me. And that's the point I want you to get from this. It emboldens me when I see others being faithful, right? And so it helps us to be faithful. Many shall see it, all right? So when we think about our example, we may feel like we're not any influence on anybody, but you better be careful. Somebody may be watching, all right? And the more we're faithful to God, the more it could embolden somebody else who hasn't been, but they're more willing now because they know they've got company. Okay? These things are important, brethren. Because at the end of the day, our attention to these things has a lot to do with how much glory was given to our God for his goodness and mercy by our faithfulness, by us letting our light shine. How much glory is being given to our God? Is he worthy of more glory than we're giving him? Well, let's get busy. We know these things, don't we? You know, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, so don't think I'm looking down my nose here. We all need to be giving him glory and praise. Right. I know you, and I know you're doing that. But I also know that in the scriptures, especially the New Testament, well, the Old Testament's full of it too, there's so much language exhorting us to do more. And the reason it's there is because we all have this old flesh nature about us that keeps pulling us down. And if we're not careful, you know, it's you don't stay the same. If you're not pressing into the kingdom, you're backing up. Because the flesh is constantly pulling us away from God. So that's why we have to press into the kingdom. That's why we have to serve the Lord. That's why we have to be mindful of being proactive and settle in our hearts, you know, purpose in our heart that we're going to be faithful to God. That's what we need to do on a daily basis so that we can bring praise and honor and glory to his matchless name. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What if you're a good example? Help somebody else to have more trust in the Lord. That's a good thing. Because that could bring more praise to God. Many shall fear and trust in the Lord. And so, verses 4 and 5 kind of sum up what we're talking about here. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And if you want more on that, go back to Psalm 1. The Psalm 1 man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God is so good to us. Yeah, we're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. There are going to be times when we feel like that we're sinking in the mire. But God is able. And the sooner we remember his strength is what we need and not our own. As soon as we remember that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And bless your hearts, it'll help us to remember that he's the one that can lift us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and establish our going, and put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. May God help us. When we face our troubles in life, may God help us to look to him quickly. Call upon him that he can help us. He might help us immediately. If he doesn't, then wait patiently. Because he's able. Don't give up on the Lord. You know, we're the ones that needs the work. God is good. He's merciful and kind. May God help us in all of our troubles to seek him early, to seek him diligently, and to wait patiently for his help. May God bless you is our prayer.